This is James Williams. You're tuned in to Respectfully Speaking on 860 AM, Fridays from 5 to 6, where we discuss
being great, health and wellness, sports, politics, and different ideas to build our community.
Because what's important to you is important to me. And I'm Eric Allen. Welcome to Respectfully Speaking Radio.
And remember, our opinions and ideas define who we are as people, respectfully speaking.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all, I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me, don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror, what do you see? You see it clearer, or are you deceived in what you believe? 'Cause I'm only human after all, and you're only human after all. Don't put the blame on me, don't put your blame on me. My opinion, don't ask me to lie and beg for forgiveness for making you cry, for making you cry. 'Cause I'm only human after all, I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me, don't put the blame on me. Oh, some people got the real problem, some people out of love. So Lord, heaven's above. I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human. I've made mistakes. I'm only human. It's all it takes to put the pain on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human after all, I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me, don't put the blame on me. I'm only human, I do what I can, I'm just a man, I do what I can. Don't put the blame on me, don't put your blame on me.
Welcome to Respectfully Speaking Radio with your host, James Williams. My partner, EA, is not available today. He's out on the road at an event, and he couldn't make it, but he will be calling in for those of you who are waiting to hear from him. But he will be checking in with us soon. But today, this is a great show today. So I got Sultan.
Oz Sultan
on here, and Armand James, both on here. And we're going to really dig deep into a lot of stuff going on in this election.
Hell yeah.
And this is a very good panel, a very good group here today for this because, so Oz is an RNC delegate.
Yep, I'm the chairman of the Harlem Republican Club, founded in 1923. I'm a New York RNC delegate, and I've been helping out with election integrity around Philly and Montgomery County.
Do we have election integrity here?
We're trying to get there.
Okay. Armand James. So Armand ran for Congress. He's been on here before. He ran for Congress as a Republican in 2014, and I was lucky enough to be his campaign manager. He was endorsed by the Philadelphia Inquirer against Congressman at that time, Shaka Fatah. Armand has basically always been viewed as what we would consider one of those Arlen Specter-type Republicans, right, that the people like him. Even though he was an R, he got a lot of credibility on his race. And again, he was Inquirer endorsed, right? And I mean, I was Daily News endorsed, too. I mean,
yeah,
think about it in my election when I ran against David O and those guys, right? So, yeah. I mean, this is a very good, I think, panel to really just dig deep into this. So I'm going to go right into it, right? Obama's been on the circuit.
He has. He came out in Pittsburgh, which is where I'm from originally.
Yeah. He's been on the circuit. Mm-hmm. And he's been out there. And so my theory is, if you're going to Obama at this time, is it because that we're seeing Trump move up in the polls?
It's partially that, and I think it's partially a Hail Mary because, you know, you saw the 60 Minutes interview with Kamala. Yeah. You saw the CNN interview, which was a train wreck. And you saw the Univision interview, which she used the teleprompter, right? So I think there's a reality check that's going on across America where people are saying, like, look, we would be cool if this was legitimate, you know, because she echoes the core issue, abortion, LGBTQ rights.
So let me just stop you right there. Mm. I don't think this election is really going to come down to reproductive rights for females.
I think it's coming down to the economy, period.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's going to be there. I think a lot of people think there's that is there.
Yep.
You know, I had somebody actually say to me on social media, well, you know, and I just put out there some different things, and I just like to get the pulse before I come on the radio and talk, right? You know, I like to start a little trouble on social media with some stuff. And being a centrist, I can do that very well because I usually piss off both sides, right, from when I put stuff up there. You know, years ago when Trump and – who did he run against the first time?
Hillary,
yeah. When they ran, Politico said, hey, go on your Facebook page and see how many people follow Trump and how many people follow Hillary. Mm-hmm. Right. And when I did that, I realized my page was kind of split right down the middle.
Yep.
So I realized I was in a good spot to really get a lot of information. And I think that's what helped me as a campaign manager. Right. But a friend of mine said to me, well, if you're not voting for Kamala, you're voting against me having my rights as a woman.
I've been hearing that a lot.
Right. And I said, but if I vote for Kamala, I'm voting to raise my taxes by 25%.
Not just that. Any person who owns stocks, right?
Yeah.
If you're just getting into it, you're 20, your young brother, all of that's going to get taxed at an additional level that no one's talking
about. On the capital gains, right?
Not just cap gains. Cap gains if you lose. So let's say the stock goes down and you sell it, you're still going to own tax.
No, I know. I mean, that's crazy, right? When you think about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think this race has also turned into like, I think what we see is a culture war, right? I think
it's become a bit of a culture war,
yeah,
and that's across the country,
yeah. So Armand
and a meme war,
definitely a meme war. Armand, when you're out of Montgomery County more so, but you know, I mean, you're in an interesting position because you're in the city every day. I mean, you're in Ground Zero as a teacher, Lingbach Award winning teacher, one of the best teachers in the city. What's the pulse like? I mean, what are the younger people saying out there? I mean, I know some of them can't vote, right? But if they're registering to vote and everything, but where are they at?
The biggest thing is that the kids that I'm running across, they're tired of the commercials. They said, like, yo, these commercials, they're annoying. They're getting on my nerves. Like, you know, they really can't really fathom or understand the different policies and all that stuff. But they said, yo, every time you turn the TV on or something, it's like, I don't believe either one. And so I don't think they're really invested in it yet, but they're just tired of the overload of political commercials and trying to push an agenda on each side. Mm. You know, so I'm not saying I have a few students who, you know, who are recently immigrants, you know, unaccompanied minors. And I think they feel, you know, a certain way about Trump.
You know? Of course.
Yeah, because, you know, his rhetoric could potentially affect them, you know. Of course. So, but overall, I say majority of kids, they don't really care. Mm-hmm. And they just tired of all the commercials from what I'm seeing.
I mean, so you're talking to, you know, you live in Montgomery County, but you're a Philly guy. You're an uptown guy like me. You know, we've always used to talk about, like, what are the baby boomers saying? And you know what I mean? Like, guys like your dad always gave us a good pulse of what's happening. You know what I mean? And I don't want you to divulge his where he's at on his mm-hmm. position. But, you know, when we ran elections, we always took a pulse of, like, your dad and what was he thinking on the issues, right? And, mm-hmm. and what's going on. Like, what are you hearing, you know, from that demographic?
Well, I feel like from what I'm hearing from them, people do feel the economy. Everybody's feeling the economy. When you go into the market and you're buying certain things for your family and you, like, you know, your wages went up, but it don't feel like your wages went up. It feel like, yo, I feel like I'm stuck. You know, we have those issues when you have children you're providing for, the family you're providing for, and you exactly. go in the market, you go into the gas station, and just things are just higher. The housing market is high. So I think people are really feeling the effects of the economy. And I think that in 2016, we bought into, like, the identity politics a little bit more. I mean, well, 2008. I would say when Barack Obama first got in, and he was a qualified candidate, but I think you could lean hard a lot on his race also. You know, you could openly admit, like, yeah, I voted for him because he was black. He was qualified and he was black. But now I think more people are saying, like, you know what, I want to see the substance, because right now, you know, with the illegal immigration, inflation, the crime, mm-hmm. the wars going on across the world where we're sending billions to other countries, and, you know, a lot of schools don't have air conditioning. I think people are looking at tangible issues that affect them. Every single day. So I feel like they're leading with identity politics, but I don't know if it's going to be as effective as it was maybe 12 years ago.
You know, so I had two you know, full disclosure, I'm an independent, right? Because I just think if you're in media, mm-hmm. you shouldn't have a party. Like, that's just my belief. Like, if you're in the media, you shouldn't have a party.
I absolutely agree.
Right? Like, you should really be straight down the middle, right? But, you know, I had some very... two elected officials in Philly who I like a lot in here last week, Democrats, mm-hmm. and they felt very confident about this election.
They have to.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know they have to,
publicly,
right?
But they have to.
Yeah, publicly they have to.
But, like, when I'm looking now at the polls, right, and, you know, I had a discussion with one of my former co-hosts, or not co-hosts, but former editors of the Uptown Standard, and we were talking about the election today. And, you know, we're going over the positions and everything. And I was like, well, you know, at the end of the day, right, I don't care what the polls are saying for the popular vote. I don't care who's winning the national polls, right?
Electoral, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You got to look at state by state, right, to really get a glimpse, right? And then you got to dig deeper and just not looking at the state, but you got to look at the state, what they're saying for that race. But then you got to see how the Congress race is looking, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got to see how the Senate race or a governor's race is in there is looking, right? So, you know, I'm seeing some states where, like, in PA, Casey is blowing away McCormick.
Oh, and, right. and a lot of it, too, I think, is the Catholic vote, right? Because you have to think about this. There's 5 million Catholic voters in Pennsylvania, and Casey's their Catholic who's already in Washington.
I'm one of them.
And right? I think that's really where you're going to get a huge split vote in McCormick, and he's got a lot of ground to make up.
I mean, I don't think he can make the ground up, right? But— when you look at him, he's down in the polls so much, mm-hmm. right? But then you look at Trump, who's up 3 right now on reputable polls.
Right.
Right? Like, I don't call it a failing New York Times a reputable poll.
Not so much.
Right? You know, I'm looking at Russellman's, Emerson.
Exactly.
You know.
Do you trust real clear?
Real clear, right? Real clear. I like to look at a sample of a lot of polls to really, really see where we're at and really get a gauge of, like, how it's moving. And when you look at those polls, right, it's showing a different picture, right? It's showing Trump was down, mm-hmm. but now he's rising, right? And even in Trafalgar, the flagger,
Trafalgar.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. T-A-L-F-A-G-R, right? Even there, you know, I think that's a good indication when you see, hey, they're tied, right? Because now that's a Republican-leaning poll.
Yeah.
Right? You know, but when you see they're tied in that poll, you know, you're saying, hey, well, they're actually getting the honest effort, right? Because I believe it's almost close as a tie, right, in PA. Because I don't think no one's really gauging the independents.
They're not gauging the independents, and they're not gauging the wild card votes, right? And they're also not looking at the gambling sites, because the gambling sites have Trump up by a ton.
Yeah.
My little brother told me that.
Let's talk about the wild card vote, right? So you have a ton of people that voted uncommitted, and this isn't just in the Democratic primaries, but they're committing to go uncommitted, but maybe down ticket they'll vote for a few people. Mm-hmm. Abandon Biden, which was Rashida Tlaib's joint, has thrown all their support behind Jill Stein. So what we're looking at is something that's very much like 2000 all over again, where we could have like 5-7% of the vote, you know, the American Muslim vote, the disenfranchised American Jewish vote, mm-hmm. And then also disenfranchised voters that could have been Kamala voters voting for Stein. So you take those even odds, you look at the fact that we've got a silent majority of Trump folks that are out there. They're not talking about this. They're not putting signs up, because even in Montco, mm-hmm. we had what happened yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So there were Democratic operatives, and this is on my Instagram timeline. But they attacked the Philadelphia, Delco, and Montco Trump 47 offices at the same time. Now, they broke into the Delco office and threatened a bunch of female staffers. It got a little hood in Philadelphia, and they kind of got pushed back. And in Montco, you know, they almost got in, right? But it's emblematic of, like, what's going on right now. We've got Obama in Pittsburgh. I grew up in Pittsburgh, right? And my dad made steel in Pittsburgh for 50 years. And they're trying to captivate the vote there, simply because Allegheny's always been very strong blue. I mean, even all the way back to the 90s, right? When Murphy was mayor and Roddy was kind of...
Yeah, it's strong blue, right? But I mean, when you look at Pittsburgh, they have like legitimate Republicans elected in the city government.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I don't know how blue it is.
It's blue. Right. I always called it blue with a red crust.
Yeah, okay. You know? I can give you that.
Because if you go further out towards like
Aliquippa
towards like Washington, Westmoreland County, it's all red.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think people are actually, when you talk about that area, I think Fetterman is a good example of Democrat out there. Because I think people thought they had like a complete like ultra liberal, lefty. Right, progressive.
No, you just had a guy that ruined Braddock, but
yeah, and then you got to see who he was, and they were like, "Whoa, this is not who we thought he was." Right, yeah. Like, you know. So, I mean, I think that's all interesting. Now, when we look,
I do want to get back to Obama, when he was lecturing African American males on, you know, their vote and why we're not necessarily supporting Kamala mm-hmm. at the usual rate that we do every election. But I think it was disingenuous by him and arrogant to say that, you know, we don't want her or not supporting her because we can't see a female or a woman in office in power.
So, and I don't think that's it. I really don't think
I know it's not that.
Right? I think it's the auntie or else rhetoric.
No, I think it's like, I think people who know her history as a prosecutor,
she's incarcerated right. more black men in California than any other DA.
Yeah, know? No, that's true, right? But I mean, like, naturally,
stuff kept
naturally, and I don't mean if she's a blue prosecutor or a red prosecutor, right? Like, we don't like prosecutors. Like, that's one. Yeah. She was a prosecutor. Like, I don't think it really matters. Like, we don't like prosecutors.
We don't like prosecutors, right? And the left isn't supposed to like cops, but there you are.
You yeah. know? I mean, so, you know, I think it's a very... Like, and I listened to that last night. I did something I normally don't do, mm-hmm. right? I turned on MSNBC.
Okay.
I mean, you know, just to be fair, I don't watch Fox neither.
Yeah.
Right? I don't watch any of them.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's Al Jazeera or nothing. Mm-hmm. Right?
I watch
or BBC, right? BBC I want to watch, like, press. Outside of what they're talking about us. I don't want to really get the propaganda that's being fed to us by everybody. But I think the whole thing of shaming black men.
It's kind of
right
ridiculous.
Now, right? To vote for her.
Yeah.
Right? And here's the thing, right? We all don't have the same interests.
No.
Right? We all don't have the same interests. And people are like, well, you know, why would you vote for her if you don't make over $400,000 a year? I was like, how do you know I don't? Right? Like, how do you know?
Exactly. Like,
I'm personally, for me, not one policy she's talking about benefits me.
Yeah.
And I'm a centrist, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm also Catholic, right? And as a Catholic,
Exactly.
Oh, like she, you know.
She's cringy.
Yeah, like.
Super cringy.
I have friends who are Knights of Columbus, you know. So when you say, hey, they shouldn't serve in office, I got friends who are there. Like, right, they shouldn't be federal judges or anything. Like, you know, I mean. Will this be, if she wins, will this be the most anti-Catholic administration we've ever seen?
Not just anti-Catholic, anti-people of faith, okay? Because they are roping all this stuff together with the Abrahamic religions, and they're saying that, like, they've got a purview. It's a secular purview that they want to push, but it pushes all of the people of faith off to the side.
Yeah.
You know, and you're looking at that from that standpoint of alienation, where Trump has, like, prayer circles and things like that. And, you know, whether you like the guy or not, because we can all agree he's...
And honestly, let me just say full disclosure, I do not like him.
You don't have to like him.
I do not like him.
You're hiring him to do a job.
Armand will tell you he's the reason I left the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry about that.
You know what I mean? He's the reason I left, right? So I don't like him, right? You know, and he made me vote. He made me vote Hillary. He made me vote Biden. Like, I mean, Biden would have got my vote anyway because he was Catholic.
He made me vote. He actually made me support him, but a lot of it was because, so he came in to New York, right? Mm-hmm. He got together all of the district leaders of color. So that's, you know, the five boroughs and the four towns.
He did that in Philly, but he didn't invite me. And I was one of the top ward leaders in the city. I control 27 wards, so he did not invite me. So that was like a major mark.
It's usually not him. It's whoever the local person. That's probably Finnerty.
Finnerty wasn't in charge yet. I mean, we had isolated him.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, like we're saying it, what a joke! But, what a joke of a leader. I mean,
but I will tell you, GOP I will tell horrible. The Philly GOP has just got issues. But
issues.
It's just beyond issues. It's defrocking ward leaders. It's internal politics.
Puffy has less issues than the Philly GOP.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
He has less issues. Well, I don't know.
I just want to
add. You dig deep into some of their records with the Me Too movement of the parking authority affinity in him. I don't know.
Look,
you know,
the reason we supported Trump was he came in, he listened to our issues, and he made them policy. Okay. And that's something that we've never had from Hillary. We never had from Bernie. We never had from anyone. Because even with my democratically elected friends, because you know what? You live in New York, you're friends with everybody, right?
Yeah.
Their candidates wouldn't even sit down with them. Inside of the neighborhoods that they're espousing that they're going to like protect and help. And I think that's the bigger issue with Biden too. And now Obama coming out, it's like, okay, they've had 12 years of the past 16 years.
Yeah, yeah.
What exactly is better in the hood? How are black lives better? How are brown lives better? How are job opportunities better? Can you buy a house? Like all the basics, you know, no one wants to have that discussion.
And we do have sometimes they write black men off as just severely emotional. And there's a lot of black men that I have cerebral conversations with about policy, about life, mm-hmm. about investments and stuff. So for you to write us off to just say, I identify with a politician off of identity politics. Like, you know, I was raised by a father who held me accountable and I should be reading and engaging with people, being respectful of people. So I consider myself, all of us, we're cerebral, so I can talk about policy. I don't care what you are. You know, I don't care because it's some black men I don't agree with on anything. So I wouldn't vote for them, and they black, and some of them might be in my family.
No, I agree.
So why I gotta vote for this lady? You know, why I gotta vote for this person? Because they're black. It's insulting to black men. I think Obama need to be checked on that.
Well, that's the gauntlet they're throwing down because it's come down to like she embarrassed herself in Univision. She embarrassed herself in 60 Minutes. She embarrassed herself in CNN. They won't release the transcript of the 60 Minutes joint, but they had to release Trump's. And now you're saying vote or else. You know, it's like freedom is on the line. Democracy is on the line. This administration has put in more stuff to put a surveillance state on people than any other administration within this century, okay? You know, they've extended the Patriot Act. They have rolled back protections. They're limiting free speech. And now you have Tim talking about like, well, you shouldn't be able to say certain things in order to protect free speech. Free speech means all speech, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. I, you know, and that's a crazy one, right? I was watching something with, I don't know if you've seen this clip, with Elon Musk when he sat down with Don Lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And Don Lemon was like, well, you know, I think that some of the stuff that you're allowing, basically, and I'm paraphrasing it, on your platform should be moderated. And he was like, censored. And he's like, no, moderated, like, you know, responsibility. He's like, you mean censorship? And he's like, because freedom of speech is only freedom of speech when you can offend people.
That was a good interview.
Right? Yeah. Like, and I'm paraphrasing this, right? But, like, look, I worked at Boardwalk Fries in Montgomeryville Mall, right, when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
The guy I worked with, one of the guys I worked with was a skinhead, like a legitimate skinhead. I didn't care. He didn't like me. I didn't like him, but I felt like you're allowed not to like me. You're allowed to say what you want to say. You're allowed to do that.
Look, growing up in Pennsylvania, I think we've all had our skinhead experiences, especially in work.
Dude, but, listen, I went to Cabrini College, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I heard words for the first time. I didn't know they called it some of them things that I got hurt. That, mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
It didn't end up right for the people who called me that stuff. But,
yeah.
You know, right? Like, but you had the right to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have a right to offend people.
What it's come to is that not only do you have not a right to offend people under like what some of the Democrats are talking about, but you don't have a right to actually criticize. And that's the thing that's terrifying to me, because it's becoming like a dictatorship.
So is that the reason why I think a highly flawed candidate in Trump, highly flawed
mm-hmm.
candidate, is still able to be in this race and almost pull off the win? Because is it that people were voting for Trump, or is it that they're voting against the direction of the country?
It's 50-50. They're voting 50% for the policies, because I voted on the RNC platform and I've read it.
And but are they, and I got to push back on you right now on this one, right? Because does he really care about the RNC policies?
Those policies are his policies. That's what's
that's
be
today,
adopted.
Right?
No,
I think
that's
whimsical.
What they did last time. That was all adopted.
Did he stick to it?
He stuck pretty close to it.
Or did Mitch McConnell stick to it?
You're always going to run into issues in Congress in terms of it getting watered down. We know this, okay? But it's the same thing with the Dems saying that they're going to push a constitutional amendment for abortion. That's never going to happen.
That can't pass.
No.
I never see that making it.
But what's also scarier is the fact that, like, anything that's been in their way, the filibuster, the Electoral College, they keep saying they want to remove it. They want to change the Supreme Court. There's precedent, but they want to change the Supreme Court because they're not getting what they want. It's to the electorate to kind of decide how we shape America. It's not just the Democrat leaders. And I think that's really the other side of it. It's where Trump is shining, is that people are saying that, like, you know what? He may not be perfect. He may be, but he did do a reasonably good job with the economy. And we can at least trust him to deal with foreign leaders in a more effective way than just firing money out of a cannon, which just seems to be the Democrat policy.
Yeah, I don't think we should give anything to Ukraine, me personally. I mean, that's me. You know, I don't think we should give anything there. I mean, the amount of money we gave to Ukraine would end the poverty in the U.S.
Yeah, they want Crimea back. Crimea was lost under Obama, okay? That was 2014.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you're screaming about stuff that predates this war that you're never going to get in any kind of negotiated settlement when you bring people to the table, and you're still spending our money, you're killing your kids, you're killing Russian kids, and there's no end in sight to this thing.
Putin, you know, you know where I stand. I don't think we should be giving many of these countries a lot of money. Because that's one thing that our students always say is like, where do they get all this money from? So sometimes the kids think that there's a big bank where America get money from. They don't think that's all taxpayer money.
Mm-hmm.
They think, well, the government got the money. I'm like, no, you got the money. Your parent, we got the money. And we pay taxes, and they do what they want with our taxes. Because we're shelving out money. To me, if I'm shelving out money to Israel, to Ukraine, other countries, and you just doing what you want with it, and you're not even checking with me, like, who's running the show here? So my thing is, are we America first? We don't got air conditioners in school. We got veterans who don't have housing. The roads are messed up.
Mm-hmm.
The infrastructure. So what are we pitting first, foreign interests or American interests? That's my thing. And another piece that I know you probably touch on is that I don't like how the media and everybody is treating, and I'm conservative, but I don't like how they're treating Jill Stein, other candidates who are independent.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I can push my issue out there and get support. I don't need to silence nobody else.
Yeah.
I think we should, that's the Lincoln Douglas debate. We're just going back and forth about issues and certain things like that.
Exactly.
Why can't we do that? Why can't they all be on a debate stage? Trump, Jill Stein, you know, Kamala, and throw issue without the media interjecting, fact checking, anything. Just let me do the fact checking. You don't do that. Just pose the question like you see, Spam. Yeah. That's it. But it's, open it up for everybody. And that's the true republic where the people are seeing all issues. I don't care who you are.
What the Democrats are doing is what Cuomo did in New York, okay? Cuomo defrocked. That means removed access for third-party candidates to get in the ballot. And a lot of this is hysterical because Miranda from Sex and the City, right? She ran on working families, and she was going to beat
That's Cuomo. The redhead, right?
That's the redhead. I always forget her name. I always cancer brain in her name. But everyone remembers Miranda from Sex and the City.
Yeah, yeah.
She was doing pretty well in the polls, and they started defrocking access, okay? So they are happy with their version of democracy, which means that only their candidates can run in races that they think they could win, and then they'll do some very nefarious stuff. Kareem El-Samak, a buddy of mine, won in NY90 to go to state senate. Then they redistrict him. So he lost after he won, okay? And this is an ongoing issue. Now, not to say we don't have issues in red states, because you got some of these issues in red states,
too.
Oh,
no, totally. But
they're not trying to kick every third-party candidate off the ballot. And they're not coming out and saying that freedom is at stake, just don't vote for Jill Stein and only vote for this person.
So, right, I guess this is my centrist again, right? Because I believe the one thing the Democrats and Republicans can agree on is they want no third parties, right? In PA.
They're weak. That's a weak mindset, though.
Right, yeah, in the PA, and, you know, from being on the inside of the GOP, I've worked to knock a lot of independents off the ballot. Right. So we had a commissioner's race. Steph won. And I love Steph. He's a Republican commissioner. Mm-hmm. He won. But he won because literally they just knocked the Working Family Party candidate off the ballot.
Well, was that for signatures or was it the procedural?
I can't even remember. Right. And my theory is the law has changed. Right. In PA. So in PA, you have to you had to add I think it was like 10% of whatever the general election turnout the
it's
year 10, before.
10% unless you're a minority party candidate.
Yeah.
I think that's
ridiculous. Like, I think to be an independent candidate or a non-affiliate candidate, you should have to get the same amount of signatures as everybody else. Right? I don't know why we make it so hard for ballot access for them. And I think both parties are responsible for that because I truly believe that both parties don't really have a solution besides fighting each other.
No. But I will tell you. Both parties are terrified of working families.
They should be.
And it's
look at Philly, right?
Because working families is pretty socialist in terms
yeah,
of
yeah, yeah, yeah. You saw what happened to Philly, right?
Yeah.
GOP doesn't even exist no more.
No.
But if the GOP is not good enough to get proper candidates and get a good message out with all the social stuff, you want to keep talking about some of the social issues about who's gay and who, we don't care about that.
I care less about that.
When I walk in my classroom, I got gay students, I got straight students, I got immigrants, I got blacks. Their passports say the same thing. And they're good people. Like, outside, who cares what they do in their personal life? But open it up. If you want to have the true democracy that you always talk about, this democracy, this republic, whatever you want to call it, but you shut certain people out the conversation, you shut other people out the conversation, it's ridiculous. Because when I watched one of the interviews Jill Stein did, it was so biased. And, you know, I don't really
She's
agree.
Good, too.
She's good. But
She's
I don't,
good.
You know, certain things we agree She's with on that we have, but some things I don't agree with her on. But she has the right to reach as many people with that message just as you would if you was running against her. Mm-hmm. And let the people decide, like, you know what? I like what Dr. Oz is saying more than what she's saying. But don't cut her out.
Yeah, and that's what they've done, like, systematically. And I've always said this, both parties done that. You know, I remember sitting with David O. when I was working for David.
I like David.
Oh, yeah. He's good man. And I remember saying to him, like, when you're done, the Philly GOP is going to be dead. Right? Because they spent their whole time fighting David O because they didn't want the Asian guy representing them at large.
Yeah.
Right? That
we've had the similar issues in New York with Latinos and certain people upstate not wanting a Latino representation downstate.
Yeah, it's like crazy. And here's my thing, right? Like, And just let me dive in, you know, because why did McCormick find it so important to give cheesesteaks away?
Okay, so that was like, that was Sheila's like, that was Sheila's mistake.
And I'm hoping she calls in, right? But like, why? Like,
okay, that's the Black Conservative Federation showed up 2 weeks. I was there, right?
Yeah, with, I mean, Kwame, I just need to hear this.
And everyone else, and they showed up, but they did it the right way. I think the problem was is they used Sheila to organize it, and Sheila sold it as cooking for autism. And then McCormick showed up, and they had Trump stuff everywhere, McCormick stuff everywhere. None of these cheesesteak joints, because you saw what happened with Permane's, but you see what's also happening with the other restaurants like around the country. Like they don't want it politicized. Some cases they want it Democrat politicized, but they don't want they don't want their place of business politicized. The
bottom line. Yeah.
And so I think that was part of the mistake. And the other part of the mistake, too, is that you know, it's campaign officials kind of organizing this stuff and not being detail orientated on it.
Yeah, like, you know, we've reached out to his campaign from my platform, the Uptown Standard, right? Which we do this show from. And we reached out to him. Nothing. Like, nothing. Right? I'm Black Press.
Mm-hmm.
I probably have the biggest independent network of papers in the city. Like, Bob Bogle is the only publisher who has more reach than me,
mm-hmm.
right, at the Philadelphia Tribune, where I used to work. So when you say, hey, we're not coming here, we're not spending no money with the Tribune, we're not spending no money with this, we're not spending no money with Black media in the city, but yet we're going to go in front of a cheesesteak place and throw cheesesteaks at Black people, and they say, well, why we can't get no Black votes?
I'm gonna blame the strategists on both sides because this is also something we're seeing with Casey. We're not seeing the engagement in traditional media, which is print, but what we are seeing is a ton of ads on Tubi, a ton of ads on Netflix.
Well, I disagree because Kamala is running ads with us.
Is she?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then points to Kamala.
Right. She's running ads, and I'm sitting there like, and then when you wonder why you have no engagements, why you haven't broke through, this is the problem that we had when Armand ran, and I went to the party for ads. Like, look, we need to advertise.
I've spent time with Dave, and I'm going to tell you, this is a campaign issue, not a Dave issue. Dave wants to be everywhere, okay?
Yeah.
McCormick wants to be everywhere. But his campaign folks, really, to your point, they definitely need to be more engaged in terms of
Well, they're a bunch of guys from Central PA.
Media, but I would say any right? minority media.
What the students said, they ain't got the sauce.
Yeah, they don't get
sauce,
it.
You know, so they wouldn't know.
They're sauceless.
Yeah, yeah. It's all technical with them.
It is.
So I remember,
there's a certain, some of my students, he could walk in the room. He got it. But some of these guys that be behind these campaigns, everything got to be so technical and so, well, analytics. So there's not people criticize basketball players. They always talk about analytics, but you could look at them and say, he never even played ball before. But some people who can get on the court, it don't matter about the analytics. I get busy, I get a bucket on you. So same thing with the party, and you know, especially with the Republican Party, you see it. They try to stick so hard to their theory and how they do things. Like I still hear people say, "Door knocking, door knocking, door knocking." I'm like, "Yo, I don't answer my door. I don't want to talk to you about politics."
When you were running in the second congressional, which is basically the whole Black side of the city, why aren't you guys knocking more doors? Like, what is wrong with y'all?
Yeah,
like. Do y'all not understand? No, I'm not answering my door for nobody.
Well, they also don't understand hood politics, okay? Because I'll tell you, up in New York, the way that we got the vote, like I pulled 17% in a D plus 46 my first run. Okay? Mm-hmm. That means we're 4% Republican, all right? Mm-hmm. And that many people were upset with Brian Benjamin to do that. Mm-hmm. We got 31% of my other boy who ran. But it comes down to they're not only disconnected from the realities of the hood, they're disconnected from the realities of the city because New York, Philly, you see the same problems, okay? Mm-hmm. And they don't understand that, like, if you really want to get people up, you got to do what Tom Ridge did in 2001. You got to go into the projects. You got to do barbecues. You got to bring the community together, okay?
Yeah.
But they don't do that. They try the same tactics that they try in Montco and Delco and Allegheny and that kind of a thing. And it's great when your doors are like, you know, 100 feet apart from each other. Mm-hmm. But when your doors are 10 feet apart from each other, you know, like, all right, what's the vibe? What's the pitch? Like, what do you really have outside of just bothering me in my house?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, we did a little door knocking on your campaign, Armand, you know, but we got, and I'll just give you this. When I was running the Beth Grossman campaign, you know, and look, when I was in the GOP, they couldn't stand me. because I didn't listen. I didn't do anything they wanted me to do. I did everything my way. Mm-hmm. And I can still tell you, I still don't do too many. I still can't tell you a campaign manager who ran Republican campaigns who got their campaigns more endorsed by liberal papers than me.
They haven't been as, right? We could say this, you know, I could tell them all, we walk in the room. They haven't been that popular outside of Trump locally since
we did it.
And people was inquiring about, like, what's this? What's going on? But we kind of marched to the beat of our own drum when he was saying little crazy things about he's a communist. I mean, that don't work. That don't work down Ogun's Avenue. Yeah. I'm not saying
I remember when Shaka was getting ready to get indicted. And they were like, James, you got to be at 30th Street Station when he gets off the train after the indictment from D.C., with cameras, asking him questions. Like, what?
Why?
What's wrong with y'all? That makes no sense.
They said, don't call him Shaka.
Yeah,
call him Arthur. Arthur Davenport.
Call him Arthur.
I'm like, listen. I don't play by those rules. That's the same.
Just to be real clear.
Like, I'm like, I'm saying your name. He changed his name to Shaka Vitae. I'm calling him by that man, by the name that he calls.
We got a caller.
Hold on. I was just going to say, there's political culture, then use a crowbar, and there's the culture.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's the big problem in politics.
Caller. Sheila Armstrong, hello.
How you doing, James? How you feeling?
Oh, great. You're here with me, Oz, and Armand.
All right, how y'all doing?
Yeah, so we've been talking over the election strategies and everything that's been going on in this recent election. And so I just challenged the group real quick with a question before I let you dive in. And I said, why was McCormick giving out cheesesteaks instead of advertising and pushing his agenda with black media?
Why was McCormick giving out cheesesteaks? Because I asked him to. He was giving out cheesesteaks. McCormick give out. They gave Republican leaders always go to Pat's steaks, Geno's steaks. As a black woman, I don't go there.
Okay.
So
okay, that makes sense.
You're not going to sit there. And so, so you're not going to tell me in the conversation when I'm having conversations with McCormick and people and stuff of that nature that people support me, but you don't even come in my neighborhood.
But,
like, we already got elected officials that don't come into my neighborhood. Like, when was the last time Bob Casey came to had a Max's cheesesteak?
You got elected officials in your neighborhood don't come to your neighborhood.
That's what I'm talking about. But see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, we need to start supporting the businesses, the institutions, foundation. Because if you know anything about Max's, Max's Cheesesteak's been there in our black community for 54 years. Okay, they is a staple. How many people they done gave jobs, saved lives, helped with repasses, funerals, things of that nature. So why wouldn't I bring McCormick to Max's? Like, the question to me ain't why I did it, is why not? And why ain't, if you're a black leader and supposed to be showing off black greatness and black excellence, why are you always taking these elected officials or all these dignitaries that come out of state somewhere that's not showing off our greatness? So look, that's why I did it. All this money being
I think it was a good look. It was a good look. PCF was there 2 weeks earlier. I was there with Kwame. I think something got lost in translation with them in between whether it was Sheila's organization.
And ain't nothing got lost in translation. And no,
can
it wasn't. I don't need nobody speaking for me. Excuse me, who that's talking?
That's us.
All we know is that the masses people got pissed
off. Why is somebody talking over me? I'm not talking over me.
Go ahead, Sheila. Go ahead, Sheila. Continue.
Okay, so the point that I'm trying to make is why not?
So I have one more question on that.
Why not? Okay.
Why didn't you come to Pagano's uptown?
Pagano's?
Because I don't go to Pagano's.
Because I don't go to Pagano's. That's the reason why I don't go to Pagano's. If you know anything, anybody that knows me, when I bring any people from out of state, when I'm out here showcasing my state, when I'm bringing people
to
showcase Philly, I do what is known as the Philly Surf and Turf. Okay? If you ain't from Philly, I tell people, especially where I rock, the real ones of Philly, like, is you know how Philly got layers. You got those ones, and then you got us real ones that do the work that be really in these streets.
So let me ask you another question.
Because I consider myself a real one, I'm going to take them to places where us real ones go.
So let me ask you a question.
There ain't too many politicians going down.
Because you're on the ground. You're on the ground more than most people, and I know that, right?
Right.
You know, you're an uppity award winner, so you know I have tremendous amounts of respect for you.
Of course.
And I hope to see you there next week.
Right.
So, me and Joe DeFelice, when we were running this party, because I like to say I was one of the ones running the party, because most of the black candidates was coming out of my camp. Actually, most of the black ward leaders who exist still came out of my camp, right? That's a fair statement, right, Sheila?
Yeah, that's a very fair statement.
Okay, so let me
you
ask.
You already know that.
Right, so.
I came out of your camp, so.
Bingo, right? So.
Yeah.
Let's we had a theory.
Told, let it go.
We had a theory, right? So when I ran Beth Grossman, we got 37% of the vote. The only person got more higher percentage of vote from in Philadelphia than the campaign that I ran was Trump.
Yep. Right?
That's fair. Okay.
That's right.
If my theory is this, because I predict Trump winning PA. But yeah, I predict him winning PA only under one condition. And I don't want to put you in a position as a ward leader to throw the party on the bus. So you can definitely not answer this question.
I'll answer it.
Okay.
But if Trump gets under 150,000 votes in Philly, he loses PA. That's a number we know that's real, right? Because like 156 last time he was at, and he won, right? You got to get over 150. But that was a different Philadelphia Republican Party. That had Joe DeFelice at the head. That had guys like me in there. You know, it had some real legitimate operatives. Right?
I know. We was all working together.
Yeah. To me, this is a very patched up skeleton crew with poor leadership, a horrible chairman, horrible direction.
Agreed.
Is the Philly GOP going to be the ones that causes PA to go blue and for Trump to lose the race?
I will answer the question.
Okay, as a Philly ward leader and working with Philly GOP leadership, I agree with you 100%. James, we already know it is going to be because of the poor leadership and the poor organization of Philly GOP that Trump will lose Pennsylvania. It's all going to be on Philly GOP back. Okay, especially the poor leadership decisions. This is why we currently got what across the city of Philadelphia got over close to almost 100 minority specter seats open across the city. So yeah, poor leadership, poor organization, poor. There's a lot of poor stuff that we can sit there and talk about this Philly GOP. Okay, they like even how they even operate is horrible. Like, they don't even sit there and do minutes properly. So I am one of the people that is very voiceful and very outspoken about how Philly GOP needs a new blood, need new establishment, need to be reorganized. I push for all the, even on our state, they get mad at me when I go to state committee meetings. But we need new leadership. We need, that's the reason why we keep losing as a Republican Party in Philadelphia and on some of these tickets. Yes. I totally agree. I've been very voiceful and outspoken on the change of leadership, the change of organizing, the fact that they don't recruit into the communities, the fact that they don't do no type of engagement or outreach, and that the only time they do anything in low-income communities is with that can have any type of Republican GOP name is because me and my team, all of us did it. You know that. Me, you, Carnell, Lenard.
Well, not me.
You know
I'm
who
done.
The people that came.
I walked
well,
away.
Well, not you, James.
Yeah, I walked
but
away.
I know. But you know
I don't
who
like
is going to sit there. Look, I already know. But
ten
you know,
down.
Me being a woman of God, okay, God tells us as people of God, we always try to be peacekeepers. You know, so
well,
I
sure
try to work and keep the peace with Philly GOP. But when you already see that they anti-peaceful, anti, just want to do everything wrong, you just got to leave them go.
Okay,
so
Sheila, hold on. Let me get to Oz real quick because we're running out of time. But I wanted to thank you for calling in because I wanted to get some answers from you, and you definitely answered them.
Shout out to you, Sheila. This is James. This is Armand right here. So, you know, what's up?
Hey,
with you?
Armand. What's up, Armand?
You know, fighting a good
fight.
You
already know. I was just out here. I'm out here in Newtown Square. I just finished talking to the woman. A Newtown Square Republican organization.
Well, he's going
to
win Bucks
you know,
County.
The battle's
he's
in
definitely
the
winning Bucks County.
I'm in Montgomery County. I'm in Newtown. Not New Hope. Newtown Square.
But let us get
County,
to Oz real
side.
Quick, Sheila, because we only
but
have
listen,
like 5 minutes left.
Yeah, but next time you tell me to call it, give me more time.
Well, you need to come into the studio.
Know, Jay.
You need to come into the studio instead of running around out there. You need to
come
be here.
Come into the studio next time.
Somebody got to be in the street. Everybody else trying to look cute in the studio. Somebody got to be out here doing the actual
everybody
work.
Else, the Johnny is sitting up in the Northeast of the bar drinking.
It's all over. It's many pieces of bring it
you know. Ain't nobody in these streets like me. You know that. But go ahead, James.
But,
I love
you
y'all.
Gonna, what you going on with that?
So, you know, I agree to a degree with what she's saying, but I think part of this comes is that, like, you had the RNC changed, okay? The PAGOP changed. The Trump campaign integrated with them. A lot of what's being done is being done by the Trump 47 captains, but is the question is it enough? Is enough canvassing out there? Is enough outreach out there? Are enough events out there? Right. And I think Philly is going to come, it's a toss up right now. And it's going to come down to, are people so dissatisfied with what they have under Biden Harris that they're actually going to change their vote? Or are they going to listen to what Obama is saying, which is really vote for Auntie or else?
See, I don't think the people in the middle are listening to any politician, right? They're looking at policy. They're looking, right? That's why they're in the middle.
So they're looking at how
right?
they're looking
the
at
GOP
how they feel.
They left the Democrat Party. Yeah. These are people who left either one of the two parties because they were not satisfied, right? So bringing politicians on, I don't think sways that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think I stand by what I say, right? If Trump loses PA, it's just gonna be because of the inadequate Philly GOP. They are going to be the reason. If he does not hit over 150, and if she pushes the vote total over 300, if he doesn't hit close to 200 in this city, if he doesn't get at least 35%, she wins PA and she's the president.
I think a winning message for any candidate going forward, either side of the aisle, wherever, America first. When you invest in the students, you invest in the roads, you invest in the military, you invest in healthcare, and you say we're going to put Americans first. It's too much rhetoric about we hearing people getting things that's not citizens. We sending money to other countries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hear this out in schools. I hear this from teachers. I hear this from my friends who are in hospitals. They always showing when we giving billion over here,
yep.
A billion over here. We just see it. Like, it's a bit like, damn. They got so much money to send everywhere around the world. And I'm not saying you can't have allies and support them, but what about here first? How did Rome fall?
From within.
It was spread too thin, right?
I mean, there was $1 trillion for rural infrastructure, okay? But you have to ask the question, you know, Obama, Trump put a little bit in, but under Biden, where's the money for urban infrastructure? Where's the money for the hood? Where's the money for job training programs? We got some of those under Trump, okay? And realistically, where's the sensibility about, like, this whole fossil fuel clean energy thing? Because we're investing in carbon credits. We're not creating green jobs. We're not balancing this, you know, we're trying to, like, do a shock effect. And what it's doing is giving people $5 gas. And that's just not sustainable. It might be $3.50 where you are, but in Philly, it's like five something.
Yeah. Well, man, this is a great show. We're getting ready to jump out of here. Give me your handles, Oz.
It's OZFORNY on Twitter. OzSultanX. That's OZSultanX on the Instagram. And happy to speak to folks.
Armand.
Fulani James 215. That's my Instagram. And shout out to all the kids across the Delaware Valley going to school, handling business, working jobs, taking care of their little sisters, going through a lot of stuff to stay strong. We had those conversations every single day, so I appreciate y'all.
I hope y'all overstood and overstand. Shout out to EA. Everything that we talked about today, respectfully thinking. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week.
Thank you, folks. God bless. Salaam alaikum. They would